For that, and I'm thankful for the Word of God this morning. You have your Bibles in Luke chapter 9, and I want to, if I can, just help us to understand the story and how it applies to us this morning. Aren't you thankful this morning that God's Word is given to us not just to read and to be entertained by, but to find truth in that helps us? And I want to remind you this morning that the Word of God is given to us today that it might help you. And God's Word is not void, it's not vain, it's alive, and it's active, and it has a purpose for you this morning. There is a message this morning that will speak to your heart if you will let the Holy Spirit do that. And we find the story this morning in Luke 9 that is a remarkable story in its application to us. Here we find lessons about the strategy of Jesus now going forward in his ministry. We're going to learn that Jesus' ministry right now is at the halfway mark. We've already gone halfway in his ministry that we're going to learn about, the 3.5 years that he was alive on this earth serving. He was alive for 33.5 years, but only 3.5 of that was actually him doing anything publicly. Now, we don't know a lot about Jesus' early life, but we're going to learn today that halfway through his ministry now, Jesus changes from doing all of the things that he's doing, what I said earlier, modeling all of this, and he changes now to calling his disciples to an active role in that. And that now is mentoring. It is bringing them along to the place where now they can begin to show and to do the things that they've been learning. Now, church, can I just stop for a minute? This is God's plan for all of us. That we would not just be casual observers of Jesus' work and of his methods and what he's called us to do, but then eventually we would begin to have that participation ourselves. And he's calling us to that action, all right? He calls us. He called his disciples to follow him. You remember that? Long ago we learned that in the book of Luke. He said, come follow me. And they did. They followed readily and came and followed him. And they're learning about, some of them were just curious about what all this means and what's going on here. And wow, this is amazing. This guy's doing some amazing things. And through this, they begin to learn this is not just some amazing guy. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. And he's healing people and he's raising the dead. And it's an amazing thing that they watch. And now their hearts begin to become engaged with what they're learning. And now he calls them again to another level. And it's a level of participation. It's a level that says, I want you to do now what I've been showing you to do. Church, can I say today, the call is for each and every one of us to learn what Christ has called us to do and then to follow that. And to example that. Now, you can't just go about that. We have to have some foundation this morning. And I want to look at this if we can. And Jesus, right at the beginning, gives them authority. Now, I don't know about you, but to have a job to do with no authority doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Some of you may work in an area where your boss may say, I want you to do this, but he doesn't give you any authority. Right? That doesn't make any sense. You have to have the authority to do something if you're going to get anything done. It's not just about them going out and saying, well, let's try this. I think I saw them do it this way. You know, let's try it this way. No, Jesus said, listen, I am giving you authority. I'm giving you the power and the wherewithal to do my work. And that's where we're going to start this morning as we learn the Word of God and Jesus as he works through his disciples and now giving them more of what they need to do. Look at, if you would, verse number 1. And I want you to notice, first of all, a divine call to his disciples. This wasn't them coming up with an idea. And sometimes we, as a Christian, may think, well, I've got to think about what it is that I can do. And, you know, I've got to just kind of force my way in, maybe, I guess, is the right way. But we understand from this that God gives a call to you and I individually. Now, that call is very important. And if we're listening, God will bring us to a place of better service for him. And he will give us that call in our lives. You say, well, I haven't heard that. Let me just say today that if you're a saved individual today, Jesus is speaking to you through his Holy Spirit to serve him and to lay aside our flesh and lay aside that which we would maybe desire to do ourselves and to crucify our flesh and to follow him. And that call that he puts upon our lives is a clear call. It's a call that says, listen, I want you to come to a place of greater service for me. And that's where we find him calling his disciples. Verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together. He had a meeting, all right? He said, hey, guys, we got to gather together here a minute. I need to talk to you. And he says, guys, I have a plan. I have something that I want to give to you. And we have these 12 disciples, minus, of course, Judas Iscariot. Remember, Judas was the one who was going to betray Jesus. So we have these 12, but really the 11 right now that are really having a heart to serve the Lord. And remember that these apostles would become the very foundation for the church. Now, let me just say this morning, we sit in a local church. I don't know if you know that or not. All right. Just in case you're wondering where you're at, how I got here. This is a local church. And this is a Bible-believing Baptist local church. And the reason we say that is because we believe that God, the Lord Jesus, laid a foundation when he left this earth. And he gave us a foundation to build on. And that foundation is the apostles. They're the ones that God used to write the New Testament. They're the ones that God used to really evangelize the known world at that time. And they laid a foundation for the very thing that we're doing today. I don't know if that means anything to you today, but I'm excited when I look around and I see folks of all areas, all levels of Christian growth. And we've got people here that are brand new Christians, praise the Lord. We've got people that are Christians for a long time. We've got people in all different kinds of walks of life. We've got people that have all kinds of different needs and problems. But let me tell you today, the one thing that is common between us all, that is that we know that there's a Savior. And that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has established for us a work to do that we sit in today called the local church. Established on the foundation of the apostles. And these 12 now are getting ready to be called to begin that work. Now, I tell you today, you look at those apostles, they're nobody really to sneeze at. I mean, a little bit. You got Peter, all right? Peter was a fisherman, rough guy. Just a guy that, you know, just kind of said what he thought and didn't really have a whole lot of self-restraint in that way. Then you've got people like Matthew, who were well-to-do tax collectors, but very disliked. They were not liked at all. And then you've got people like James, who's a very thoughtful person, and Barnabas, who were lots of different people that were all together that God used in a tremendous way. And it kind of reminds me of the church we live in here today, right? We've got all different personalities, all different kinds of gifts going on, and there's all kinds of different things going on. But the fact of the matter is that God uses the base things of this world to get his work accomplished. And that's you and me this morning. I'm nobody special. I don't have any kind of special, you know, power or gift in myself. The only thing we have is what Jesus has given to us. And I want to say today, church, that's the same work that we have going on today. This divine call was built on the foundation of the apostles, Ephesians 2 and verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I'll tell you today, if you were to go out and look at our church, and there's no cornerstone in our church today, but back in the day, they'd put a cornerstone, you know, in those old brick churches that they would build, and kind of represented symbolically, this is who we are and when we were founded, and often they would put kind of a little time capsule in that little cornerstone there, and it's a fun little thing to do. But let me tell you today, church, you're not going to find a cornerstone physically in our building, but you'll find a cornerstone of what we are and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his word, that's why I was so glad to teach this morning in our Gateway class. Praise the Lord. We have a foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. You say, Pastor, what do you believe? We believe this right here. How do you make your decision? We go to the Bible and we find out what the Bible says. You want to come to the pastor and find out how to make a decision or something? Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Bible and find out what the Bible says. And let's obey it. Because Jesus, church, is the chief cornerstone. Let me have some review here this morning. Jesus is the? Good. Just making sure you're all with me this morning. I want to make sure you're engaged. Jesus is the foundation, the cornerstone of our belief. But notice, if you would, this call to the disciples was accompanied with authority. As I mentioned already in verse number 1, he gave them power and authority as he gave them this call. He delegated to them the responsibility to carry on the work that he had begun. And when he delegated it, he gave two words that were the main words. Number 1, power, and number 2, authority. as they were building then the work of the Lord, Jesus knew that they were going to face some great opposition. You know, let me tell you today, church, that whenever we set out to do something for the Lord, whenever we set out to grow and to become another step of faith in our lives, to take that step of faith, whether it's individually or corporately as a church, let me tell you today, there will be opposition to what we do. You know why? Because there is a devil, and that devil is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And he is in opposition to the work of the Lord. So we ought to understand this morning that when we go forward, we're not just, well, we got to go do something. We're actually going out to battle. And when we take a step of faith, we're taking a step against the current, against what we would want to do or what we think is necessary, against what the world wants us to do. And when we take steps of faith, the devil is against us. Our flesh is against us. How many understand that this morning? Our flesh is an enemy. You say, well, I kind of like my flesh, you know, and we feed our flesh, right? You having some of those good cinnamon rolls this morning? And, you know, we take care of our flesh. Why? We kind of like this. No, listen, this flesh is our enemy, all right? Because it doesn't want to do what God wants us to do. That's why the Bible says we have to overcome the flesh. We have to crucify the flesh that we might be able then to have the victory in the Lord. And so we have opposition. And so we need power in order to do this. The word power means ability or strength. Now, church, I need you to understand this morning, in order to do something for the Lord, we've got to have the strength and ability to do it. And that's not found right here. It's not found in our circles right here in church. You see, the strength and the ability is found through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's given to us. And we must find that. We must follow that power. But number two, the word is authority. Now, specifically, the authority that he gave was over the satanic realm. Now, listen this morning. I said that we're in a battle. And each and every one of you that love Christ and that know the name of Christ and you claim that for your salvation, you this morning have an enemy called Satan. But I want to tell you today that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is Satan. And church, I want to remind you today that we, as God's people, have the authority over satanic powers. We don't have to be afraid of that. I don't have to be. And I'm not talking about even spooky things. That's sometimes what we think, satanic things, spooky. I'm talking about just the everyday lies and distractions and temptations that we have. Listen, God has given us authority over that. And as disciples, you say, Pastor, we're not those disciples. But I want to tell you today, by extension, we are disciples of Christ. If you look at John chapter 17, Jesus grouped us together with the disciples that were there, even the disciples today. We're together. We're the same things. And so if this applies to them, it applies to us today, because God has given us that authority in the same way. Listen today, church, we are living in a day when Christians don't understand and don't recognize the power and authority that they have over Satan and over the devil's work and over his devices and over his all of his wiles that he would send. We have authority over those things. I don't have to be condemned. I don't have to be attacked by those or defeated by those. God has given us authority. And I'm thankful this morning for that. And so we have here, as we work at building the church of God, facing great oppositions, wrestling against principalities and powers, we have the authority of Jesus. You say, well, where does he get his authority? All power is given unto him, he said, in heaven and in earth. This morning, I'm thankful that all power was given to God. Universal power is the Lord Jesus's, and that same universal power is ours. You say, Pastor, I don't know how that means. What does that mean then? You know, is it like, you know, I don't know, you might be thinking superhero or something, you know, I have great strength or something like that. Well, let's look if we can, because the Bible teaches in there what that power was for. And now we learn even today what that power means to us. Notice, if you would, in the verse there, the power and authority over Satan was given. Notice in verse number 2, he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And notice it says there, as he went down in verse number, we'll stick at verse number 2. I think that's enough for now. Notice, first of all, that power that came was the power over demonic forces and the power to heal diseases. We have those two kind of ideas. Now, today, you know, there's a lot of confusion about that. Let me just clarify, if I can, what the Bible's saying. In the early first century, when the disciples were just being commissioned to go and teach and to preach. The Bible had not been completed yet. Do you understand that today? This is God's word to us, and it really is the word of God that's preserved forever. And we have it in our hands this morning called the word of God. All right? That's what we believe. But back when Jesus was walking on the earth, you know, they didn't have this. Now, they had the books of Moses, and they had the prophets, the Old Testament. But the New Testament had not been written yet. It was being written while they were alive. And now we got to think about this for a minute, all right? Today we know that Jesus is who he says he is, and we understand his life because of what's written right here. The Bible calls this a more sure word than even being an eyewitness, all right? So let me tell you today, you say, man, if I was there and I could see all that, I would just believe and it wouldn't have any trouble. Let me tell you today, you're holding in your hand something that's better than being there, all right? Right here, that's what the Bible says, book of 1 Peter. Now, they didn't have that. And so to go out with authority and start preaching and teaching and doing these things, people would be like, who do you think you are? Or why should I believe what you're telling me? They needed some sort of a sign that would really legitimize the message of the Lord Jesus. That's why we call these sign gifts. All right. They were the power that God gave to really validate the message that they were preaching. So, for instance, I'm one of the disciples. We'll pick on Peter again. So here's Peter, and they go out two by two, and they're going out, and they're going to go to this town. There's a little town here. Hey, let's go over here. I know some people here. Let's go in there. And they went into the town, and they began to preach and teach about who Jesus was. And they would go about that whole town, and they would help people to see that, listen, you need the Lord Jesus who came and was crucified. He's the Messiah, the Savior. And by the way, you got a broken arm or, you know, you're sick or whatever, I'll heal that. And they would pray and they would be healed, just like Jesus would do. How many think it'd be nice if Peter visited us, right? I got a couple aches and pains that I would love to have, right? Fixed and taken care of. But let me tell you today, that was not the whole point. The whole point was not just coming to heal, not just coming to make everybody better, because eventually they were going to die anyway. The whole point was that they would believe that what they were saying was God's word, because who can heal except for God only? And so the validation was those gifts that they had. Now, the Bible teaches, and I'm giving you a lot of teaching here this morning, so follow with me. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians that when that which is perfect is come, this is perfect, all right? And it has come. We hold it in our hands. Then that which is in part, that is the gifts that were just for signs, that is the healing and the powers and the things that they would do, then that which is in part shall be done away. You say, Pastor, God doesn't heal anymore? Oh, no. I believe that he is the great physician and he can heal. God does heal. Matter of fact, I pray for healing and I've witnessed it myself. Let me give a quick testimony. All right. I've told most of the church already. I've had trouble with my knee and it's been killing me for the last 2 months, but we were going on a trip and I asked for prayer. And let me tell you today, miraculously, truly miraculously, God healed that. I haven't had a bit of problem with it. Now, I don't know if it's going to be permanent or not, but I'm thankful that whole week didn't have one bit of problem. You say, Pastor, that was just, you know, maybe you got some exercise and you took some medicine. It wasn't anything. It was the Lord. I didn't take medicine. I'm just telling you this morning, I believe in God healing. Now, but you say, well, if God didn't, he hasn't healed me. He hasn't made me better. Listen, there's some things God hasn't healed on me either. And there's some people that we've prayed for that God hasn't healed, but that's not the issue. You see, God is not tied to whether or not he heals. God is right and faithful no matter what. And I want to say today that those things are a blessing if God can heal us, but the primary goal is not for people to be healed. The primary goal is for people to know who Christ is. How many understand that this morning? That's why we're here. That's why it's not important that we have healing services. I don't think that's even scriptural. I don't think it's even valid. You say, are you talking about those guys? I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm saying I don't think it's a valid gift. And the reason is because we have a far greater purpose than just making people well. Our purpose is the power to proclaim truth that changes lives. That's the power that God has. And so we have here that he gives them that power over demonic forces. And by the way, I still believe that we have power over demonic forces because that power hasn't changed. It's the blood of Christ. And praise the Lord for that. Devils flee at his name. And praise the Lord for that. Listen, the Bible says in the book of James that if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. You see, Pastor, he's just all over me. He's tempting me. I have all kinds of problems and difficulties. Listen, the answer is to follow Christ, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what the Bible says. Now, we have here the power then that was given for the mission. The Bible says in the book of Mark, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, again, this is another indication of this early sign. Listen to what he said. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And a lot of people take that verse and they say, well, you know what? If we're a disciple of Christ and really God is on our side, we should be able to pick up snakes and drink poison and, you know, I can heal sick. Listen to me. That's a grave misunderstanding. I say again that those sign gifts have passed off the scene. God had those for a reason, for a purpose at that time. And so now, I mean, you know, crazy things have happened. There's churches down in Tennessee and other places, you know, they still pick up rattlesnakes and try to drink poison and it doesn't turn out so well for them. I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just saying that's not our purpose today. So I can pick up a rattlesnake and not get bit, or if I get bit, it's not going to kill me. Does that prove anything? What we need to understand is, again, church, the method is not the issue. It's the power that God's given us to preach the gospel. And I'm thankful this morning that we still have that power that God's given. That's all that matters. You see, we can pray for, you know, my migraine or my knee or, you know, whatever it is. And praise the Lord if God heals it. But let me tell you, whether he heals that or not doesn't change the purpose. It doesn't change the message. It doesn't change the power of God. The power of God, the message and the method is all the same and is still to preach the gospel. And so this morning we have this power that God's given. By the way, I'm thankful that we elevate the power of God that to be able to work miracles in lives. Power is an important thing, by the way. Reminds me, years ago, I don't remember what year it was, back at the Rose Bowl parade out in California, there was a float, and this float was kind of cutting edge at the time. It had laser eyes. It was a robot, all right, real kind of fancy, you know, and kind of cool. And riding down, the robot would move its head and its arms, and, you know, the lasers would, you know, shoot different places, kind of a neat effect there. You know, all of a sudden, it came to a grinding stop. And they couldn't figure it out. And, you know, the marching band is marching, you know, in place, waiting for this thing to go. And they got some guys underneath there trying to figure it out, you know, and tools and stuff. Finally, a guy comes along with a tank of gasoline. Turns it, starts up, and they go on. The irony of this thing is the sponsor of the float was the Standard Oil Company. You talk about disappointment, man. What kind of a representation is that? And let me tell you, though, listen, as funny as ironic as that is, many times the Christians of today are the same way. Oh, they got this kind of neat outward exterior. We want to do all these fancy things. And we want to have everybody looking at us. And all of a sudden we kind of run out of power and nothing happens. And what a shame, because we are the ones that are to be, we're the ones that are to be testifying of the power of God. And here we are without power. We're without living in that out in our lives. We're defeated by sin and habits and constantly defeated by the flesh. And we can't have victory over things in our life. Listen, shame on us as Christians. May God help us that we might stand in the power of God. And so it came with power. But number two, it came with purpose. Notice in Luke chapter 9 there verse number 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Again, the purpose was clear. And church, our purpose is to preach the word of God. In John chapter 20, verse 21 says, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now, are you hearing that this morning, church? That's for you and I this morning. As God has sent Jesus, so Jesus now sends us, and it's our responsibility to go. The mission, the purpose is clear. God wants us to go and to preach the gospel. And then notice, if you would, number 3, it came with instruction also. And let me just go through this if I can. Verse number 3, this is interesting. It came with instruction. Number 1, instruction. If you're taking notes this morning, this might be worth remembering. Number 1, travel by faith. You see what he said there? Don't take any money. Now, just reminding you, okay, we just went on this hike. It's still fresh in my mind. And I'm telling you, 90% of the hike was preparing for it. I mean, we had to have so many things of, you know, packing our bag. Then when we got to the place, we had to take everything out of the bag, go through it all line by line, checking it off the list, making sure we had every single thing that we needed, and packing it just right in there and get that bag on. Now we're ready for the trip. Jesus said, leave the bag at home. And you know those little poles that you're going to use that are going to help you so much? Don't take two. Just leave it there. You don't even need it. You got a little coat. You need one coat. All right, take a coat. No other coat. Don't bring a spare. You know what he's saying to them? He's saying, well, it sounds like Jesus didn't care for their journey too much. Didn't care about them. No, he's saying walk by faith. Travel by faith. That is, when you leave and you serve me, I'll take care of you. Sometimes we try to pad our walk a little too comfortably, don't we? I'll follow the Lord, but you know, I just have to have this level of income. I'll serve the Lord, but I've got to make sure this is in place. Or I don't know about this. I don't know. And so we try to gather everything together. And when everything's perfect, now we'll follow the Lord. Let me tell you today, church, that is not the spirit of a Christian that Christ wants to use. The spirit of a Christian that God wants to use is, listen, I will go and I will go by faith. Not by sight, not by comfort and ease, but I'll go by faith. And you know what? Jesus told them, listen, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will supply all of your need. Let me be the one that does that. And I want to say to you this morning, church, if we're going to follow Christ, we've got to follow him by faith. And if you're going to take a step of faith, it can't be, well, I've got to make sure everything's padded down there. I've got to make sure everything's just perfect and everything's just right. And then I'll take this step of faith. No, it went from being faith to being sight a long time ago. Faith is about taking that step and trusting Christ. And he calls us to travel by faith. George Mueller, the wonderful man of faith that the history tells us about, says this: faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in the things that humans can do. Faith begins where man's power ends. And I want to tell you today, if you can do it, it's not by faith. But if you're trusting in Christ to do it through you, that is faith, my friend. And faith pleases God. He said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, which ye shall eat, neither for the body, which ye shall put on. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Let's get our priorities right. Walk by faith. Travel by faith. But then he says, number two, I would like you to live by faith. Notice in verse 4, whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And so we understand that there are these ideas that getting this right, living by faith and walking by faith are very important aspects. I'm thankful, by the way, that the disciples got it right, aren't you? And I'm telling you today, now we can have that foundation to walk by faith because they did as well. Praise the Lord. Notice, if you would, then the last instruction that we find in verse number 5. Use your time wisely. Notice it says there in verse number 5, whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. There's much to be said here about time in the scripture. We don't have time to go through that this morning, ironically enough. But the fact of the matter is that God wants us to use our time in an efficient manner. He wants us to be right. He wants us to be wise stewards of this. And so if he said, listen, if you're not received, if you're not going to come to a place where people want you, don't spend time there. Move on to somebody who wants to hear what you're saying. And that's what the thought was, shake off the dust from your feet and move on. He that heareth you, he said in the book of Luke, next chapter, verse 16, heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And so I want to tell you this morning, if somebody doesn't receive what you have to offer when it comes to the message of the Lord, don't despise, don't take it personally. Let God be the one that takes that. And I'm thankful this morning that he's called us and we can have that that confidence in the Lord. Let me go on very quickly if I can. I want to give you the last two thoughts here and we'll be done. Number two, notice if you would the consent of the disciples in verse number 6. And they departed. Jesus got done just telling them. Did you hear what he just got to tell them? Guys, your job is going to be very hard. You're not going to take anything with you. You won't have any comforts. You're going to go. Somebody's going to reject you. Don't take any money with you. And you know what they did? You read it. What's the first three words of chapter or verse number 6? They departed. They went. You know, I tell you this morning that the consent of the disciples is a huge part of this story. Just be willing to go and do what God is calling you to do. Listen, my friend, this morning, you might be sitting here today. God's dealing with your heart. I don't know, but He might be dealing with your heart about some attitude that's in your heart that's not right. He might be dealing with you about some action in your life that is not right. He might be leading you to a greater call to service. Lord lays things in our hearts, and we have a burden for things and people. And that, my friend, represents many times a call, a prompt to do something about that. But here's the problem. Too often we're wise and we think, you know what, financially it just doesn't make sense. You know, logically this just doesn't make sense. I just don't think it's the right time. And we hold back from what God wants us to do. Can I tell you today, if you're going to take anything away from this lesson this morning, take this away. That when the disciples heard the call, God didn't give them any kind of rosy picture that it's going to be grand and glorious. As a matter of fact, He said it's going to be difficult and hard, but I'm going to be with you. You know what they did? They left. They went. And I want to tell you today, if you're going to be characterized by anything in your Christian life, it ought to be characterized by obedience to the Lord, no matter what. And the call to us this morning is greater steps of growth, higher levels of obedience in our Christian life, greater details in our life of holiness and separation. God is calling us to those places. And my friend, this morning, you say, that's kind of scary. That's unknown. I don't think I want to go there. I'm going to be isolated. I don't want to have that in my life. Listen, the testimony of the disciples was, I've heard all that you said, Lord. I know what it means, but I want to obey. And they went by faith. And I want to tell you today, that simple action, that simple process in our lives is the key to success following the Lord Jesus. Would you just say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm ready. I want to have your blessing. I want to obey what you want. It's a powerful message that God's given to us. Be willing to go. Paul says, listen, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Paul says, listen, I'll go wherever I need to go. I'll preach to whoever I need to preach to. Why? Because God has called me to do it, and I will go. And so Acts 17, verse number 6, then has a testimony of these apostles as they went. These, the Bible says, have turned the world upside down with their doctrine. And I'm thankful for that testimony of obedience today. Yeah, that guy Peter, that guy, you know, James and John, and, you know, these guys that really were nothing, now are turning the world upside down. How? Because the power of God was in their lives and they followed it. But notice, if you would, lastly, there was a concern here. And I want to close with this. Notice in verses 7 and down through the end. Now, Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by Jesus. And Herod was this man that was the king. And, you know, he was not a godly man. Matter of fact, he had just killed John the Baptist, beheaded him. All right. Remember the story. Herod didn't really want to. It grieved him to do it. But he had his word. He gave his word. You can read that back in the Gospels there. And so he took the head off of John the Baptist. And now here's Jesus. Jesus comes healing and doing all kinds of things. And Herod says, I wonder who this guy is. Some people say he's John the Baptist come back from the dead. Some people say he's Elias, which is Elijah. All right. He had the power and all of this. He was doing the same things that Elijah was doing. Some people said it was Elijah. Some people said maybe it's other prophets coming back. And really piqued Herod's interest. And Herod began to think to himself, who is this guy? And what is he doing? I want to know more about him. I want to tell you today that this is an interesting topic. I wish I had more time to develop it. But let me tell you today, there is a question, an inquisitive mind that Herod wanted to know. But there's a big difference between the way Herod asked it and the way we see God doing things in other people's lives. Let me illustrate for you. Herod just says, generically, I'm curious about this man, Jesus. And I want to see, I want to learn more about it. You know, there's some people in this world that are curious about Jesus. Did you know that? And they want to just know more about him. They just want to know what he did. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of, you know, curious about this. And they'll come and they'll come to church and they'll kind of hear a little bit more about it. A little interest there. But let me tell you, there's a big difference between someone like Herod, who's just curious, and someone who is seeking for a Savior. Because the Bible says that this man Jesus didn't just come to be an anomaly. He didn't just come to be some sort of a spectacle, but he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we understand from this idea of Herod kind of inquisitive about who Jesus was. Sometimes there are people who are just going to kind of be curious about it. But let me tell you today, there are some who don't want to know any farther than just who Jesus was. That will not save a person. What will save a person is saying, I want to know who Jesus is, and I want to accept him for who he is and what he says he'll do for me. Now, I want to tell you today, church, that if you're sitting here and you're curious about the Lord Jesus, you're not in the wrong place. But let me tell you, that curiosity is not enough to save you and to bring you eternal life. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. That means that they know who Jesus is. There's no question about that. But there's a big difference between knowing and believing. And I want to say today, church, that if there's somebody sitting in our auditorium today, maybe you're just curious. Can I just invite you to cross that line from curiosity to an inquest, to coming to a place where you understand your need for a Savior? You desire that that Savior, the Lord Jesus, would be yours personally. And what he's done for you means something in your life. You know, we live in a world today that is threatened sometimes by the message of Christ. The message of the cross is a threatening thing. I think Herod probably felt a little bit threatened as well, don't you? Here, the prophecy was that there was going to come a king, and that king was going to rule and reign. Herod remembered that. So you say there's a king that's coming, and I'm the king? That means my neck's in danger. Herod was threatened by this message. Little did he know that he misunderstood it. Can I say this morning, some people will be threatened by the message of the cross, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you today, there's some people that will receive it. And our message today, our purpose, when Jesus called his disciples and gave them power and authority to go out and to preach, listen today, that call has not changed. And sometimes today we think church is kind of a place where we gather and we learn and we sit and we go and we just kind of go about our life. Let me tell you today, church is a place where we hear what Christ has done for us and we take that message with us and we preach it. Come to the lighthouse, get your light, and carry it out to the world around us. Now, the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can put it under a bushel, hide it. Come to church. Oh, see, I'm a Christian. I love God. Sing the songs. Do what we're supposed to do. Go home. I'm going to hide that under a bushel. I don't want anybody to know. I'm going to watch the same things on television that the world watches. I'm going to say the same bad words that my coworkers do. I'm going to tell the same lies so I can get ahead like the world does. I'm going to live in such a way that I kind of blend in with the world. And we let that light get hidden under a bushel because we're ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you today, church, that is not what a disciple is called to do. We are called to take that light and to shine it brightly around the world. I told you this last week. If you were here, if not, let me say it again. We live in a dark world. Darkness is not combated by condemning the darkness. Darkness is combated by turning on the light. And if we want the dark to go away, and we want the world to be more familiar with Christ, and we want him to shine a little brighter, listen, it's up to you and I to take that light to the world around us and to boldly proclaim who Christ is to the world that needs him. Let me tell you, you're not going to have a warm welcome in all cases. But that doesn't change our purpose. It doesn't change our mission. God has called us to preach the gospel, and we're just as much empowered, and we're just as much enabled as those disciples in the first century with Christ. Let's follow him, shall we? He calls us to those places in our lives, and I'm thankful for each of these truths that we learn about leadership and about service for the Lord. How has God called you this morning? Maybe he's calling you to salvation. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Do you know him? Not just to know about him, but have you accepted personally what he's done for you? If not, today can be that day of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the truth that we've learned. Thank you for this story of Jesus. How, Lord, you called the disciples from just a observation role to a role that's now participation. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to understand the implications in our lives. Lord, call us to that place, I pray, as well. And Lord, I pray that you might help us to grow in our Christian walk, our walk of faith. Help us to realize the power that we possess in the Lord Jesus. The power, Lord, to carry the gospel to others that are around us, Lord, to a world that does not know the Lord Jesus. Help us to be, as Christians, a witness for the Lord Jesus, I pray. And Lord, if there's sin in our lives today, maybe something that we're harboring in our lives, something that we know displeases you, may we just come clean, Lord, with you today. Lord, not to me, not to our church, but to you. May we be honest about who you are and what you desire for us. Lord, would you do your work in our hearts? Maybe there's one here today, Lord, that does not know you as their Savior. I pray today might be the day of salvation, Lord. Would you bring them to that place where they desire and they need it, Lord, and they understand their need of it. I pray for Holy Spirit conviction upon lives this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.